Amen. Well, I am excited to share the word today. We are going to be kind of starting a collection of talks as the Lord kind of is leading me, titled I Choose. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I choose. We're going to do that. Look at your neighbor thing probably a couple more times today. I choose. Today's message is I choose discipline over regret. I choose discipline over, I heard that groan, whoever that was. I choose discipline over regret. You know, I'm just so excited to share God's word. And what's super important for me as your pastor is that you don't just get an appetizer on Sunday and then you kind of just go. But I really, really desire you to just sit and eat on this meat. And so in saying that, most of you have seen that we have a journal here. And it was handed out at our new members Sunday. And it was kind of like, got to be there to get it. But I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to document what God is saying. The best thing about last week was when one of the community members came up to me and said, Pastor, I literally have like 4 to 5 pages of notes. And for me, I'm thinking, okay, that's about a good 6 days worth of ammunition. Right? Yeah. That this Jesus follower was like, I got ammo for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like that is why we document, we take notes. We brought kind of a refill of journals. I'm not sure, they're in the back somewhere probably. Miss Trina Baker is grabbing them right now. If you do not have one, I want you to raise your hand and get one. Mama right here. Hi. Boom. If you have one and don't have it, do not feel guilty. Some of y'all looking at me like I got it. It's okay. It's okay. Everybody has one here? Awesome. If you need a pen, I can't help you out with that. Didn't prepare for that. Oh, can we give it up for the host team? I'm telling you, man, what would we do without the Baker? Seriously. Good Lord. Trina B., Elijah E., man. Way to go, guys. Can we get up for the Bakers again? Like all three of y'all. All three of y'all. Man, that's awesome. If you take your notes with something with a battery in the back, that's fine. But if I see a post that's within the time of when I was preaching, I pray for water damage upon that device. But whatever it takes to record the word of God, and what the Spirit's saying to you, I want you to do that. And our goal here at church is to resource you. We believe that Sundays are for worship. That's why we're here. That's why we gather. And I want to do, we want to do, as you can see by the host team being ready, I didn't even know we needed that. And they knew we needed that because we want to make sure that you are leaving here full of God's word. The most important thing for me is to make sure I'm bringing you the meat. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bringing you what God told me to tell you. So now that we're all prepared, let's jump into this word. I choose discipline over regret. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. Your presence is here. Our hearts are ready. We are tuned in. Our minds are open. Father God, our notifications are off, and we are ready to hear what you have to say. There is nothing more important than this encounter with you, Holy Spirit. At best, me, Ramon, can motivate and inspire, but only you can bring transformation. And when it comes to discipline, we know that only you can bring transformation, Father. And we are asking for it today. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24 through 27. If I get excited, I'm not going to fall off this thing. I'm going to tell you last week. It keeps me subdued. Amen. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Repeat that after me. Run to win. Run to win. Say it like you mean it. Run to win. Run to win. Verse 25. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. Repeat that with me. So I run with purpose in every step. Let's say that again. So I run with purpose in every step. if you don't believe that over your life right now, I believe at the end of this message, the Holy Spirit's going to have you saying that with some belief and faith behind it. Amen? Amen. Continuing on. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Let me read verse 27 one more time. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. He inhabits the praise of his people. We are created to worship God. If I have an issue worshiping God, praising God, trusting God, my soul, my body isn't doing what it should. So I am not the struggles I deal with. I am not the difficulties I'm trying to overcome. I am not the mistakes I may be having. Because it should be praising God. It isn't so. I'm going to align myself with what it should be doing, even though it's a struggle. Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Addiction does not have place in your life because that's not what your body was made to do. Debt doesn't have place in your life because that's not God's plan for stewardship for you. Depression can't reside in you because that's not God's plan for your heart, mind, and soul. He says he'll keep you in perfect peace. So if areas in our life are not aligning with God, we can have hope knowing that what God says about me is who I am. What I'm going through is just what I'm going through. So I will trust God. I will not identify with my issues. I will not tattoo them onto who I am. They are just what I'm going through. I will put my faith in Jesus. I'll put my faith in something higher. But I will not claim these as who I am. Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Listen to this. Otherwise, I fear, this is Paul's fear, that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul, in essence, is saying the hardest person to lead is yourself. You know what only you know when you know what you know. You know, when you leave your corporate voice at 5:30 and you're looking up at the ceiling at 10:30, only you know what you know. When you're cooking for the kids with a smile, but when they turn, you got a tear because you don't know how this rent's getting paid. You only got one more extension with that company. When you are not sure if that last review was good enough to keep you the job. Like only you know what you know. Leading yourself is the most challenging thing you will ever lead. Because only you know what you know about you. The crazy part about it is the Bible says that a heart is deceitful above all else. So we don't even know certain things about our own selves. So we need to trust in something bigger. So I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I might be disqualified. Paul isn't just implying that leading yourself is one of the most challenging things, but the disqualification here is not Paul saying, I'll lose my salvation. I want to make sure we're clear here. Paul is saying that due to a lack of discipline in my life, I might disqualify myself from the message that I'm sharing. As to see it as ineffective, as just words, just routines, just a religion. Paul here is saying that I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others that I might be disqualified. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven, get in my mansion, going down that street of gold to see a certain part in my mansion, Miss Maria, that says disqualified. And I asked an angel, God, why can't I have access to my 99th room? Why? Ramon, there are blessings and opportunities and people. Do you know God won't release certain people to you until you're able to be disciplined in your own self? Because God does not want you taking somebody else down. There's also people that God has kept from you because he doesn't want them taking you down. He knows what you're like, but so does the enemy. But I don't want to get to heaven and find out that there is something that I don't have access to because a lack of discipline disqualified me from it. God's saying, I would release this, but you didn't have the stamina, be it physically. Can we talk about it? Mentally? Emotionally? Paul here is saying that after preaching this goodness to others, I don't want to be without it due to a lack of discipline. Paul here uses a metaphor to an athletic event, right? To a race. As any good preacher, he knows the context that he's speaking in. He's in Corinth speaking to a people that are familiar with athletic contests. They had a game called the Isthmian Games that was second to the Olympics in nearby Greece. And every 2 to 3 years, they would have this big parade of athletic events. So this group of people understood kind of what Paul was saying. What's interesting about this event is these athletes would train for 10 months prior to this event. For 10 months, they would abstain from delicacies, and they would trade those delicacies for regimens. They'd be on strict diets. They would also get away from liberties that weren't sinful, but weren't going to help them get first place. Paul says clearly that everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize. So their training was to win. It was not just to participate. My prayer is that we'll get a hold of discipline so we'll have the desire to win, not just participate. A lack of discipline will keep you happy with just participating. But you'll lose your desire to win the race that God has set before you. Not the race of what's good in our culture, not the race of this is what means this and you're high if you got this. No, the race that God's put before you. So when you get to heaven, he says, you ran well, but what hindered you? You ran, but that wasn't your lane. You worked so hard to be somebody else that you're disqualified from the things that I had for you. Man, they would adhere from all of these things so that their bodies would be at peak performance when it mattered the most, when it was time to show it. That's what Paul is using as a metaphor to discipline. See, Paul likens the intentions, purpose, and temporary pain of the athlete's training. And if you've ever trained for anything physically, you know that there has to be intention. That there has to be a purpose. And the part that we don't like the most, there is temporary pain in training. Yeah. Paul says and likens those things to the disciplines we are to run with in this Christian life. I want you to write this down. So what we see from Paul's example, I want you to write this down, is that discipline is choosing what I want most over what I want now. Discipline is choosing what I want most over what I want now. Hebrews 12, verse 11, I love how it says it here, and this keeps it so real. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. I'm going to read that again. No discipline, none, no, not one, is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. The Bible is explicit and honest right here. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of what? Of what, church? Of what, church? One more time. Of what, church? There will be a peaceful, afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Well, what way? In the way of discipline. In the way of choosing what they want most over what they want now. See, growing up, what I love about preaching is God uses all of my life. Sometimes it's not always fun, but, you know, I love y'all. So growing up, there was only two options when it came to discipline. There was a sore behind, or there was time for reflection in your room for an extended period of time. As I got older, I drove a little later, so I didn't have to deal with it too much. But there'd be like the taking of the car keys if there was discipline that needed to happen. Nowadays, there's tons of timeouts and there's self time and all that other good stuff. But the whoopings and the time and the restrictions work for me. So my kid's rolling with it. Whatever the method of discipline was at home or is in our life, correction and self-control is always a message. No matter the method of discipline, the message of it is always self-control, and it's always correction. As that was in my own home being raised, so is it so with our relationship with God. So as it is when your parents would, my mom would say, my dad would never say this. He'd be like, hey, I just whipped you. It is what it is. Get over it. My mom, you know what? I love you, and that's why I did this. And you know, when you got that good whooping and you're just trying to get your breath back, especially as a boy, I'm trying to thug it out, but I can't get it all back. You know, like, I don't know if kids still do that. Well, they don't get spanked anymore. But anyway, but yeah, like that, and your mom, Ramon. I love you. And like, I want to break out into like J-Lo and Ja-Ro. I'm like, what's love? Like, what is this? My dad would take me out and slide me over a cheeseburger. That's a problem now. There you go. I'm still like wiping my eyes. Let's go to the game. But no matter the method of the discipline, the point of the discipline, the message of it was clear. Correction. Self-control. Correction and self-control. That is the same with God. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Y'all with me? Yeah. Look at these scriptures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Psalms 94, verses 12 through 14. Gave you all those notebooks for a reason. Knew it was coming. I want you to write that down. Proverbs 3, verse 12 was what we just read. For the Lord corrects those he loves. So I guess it's biblical. I whipped you because I loved you. Just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights in. I remember coaching and one of the things that we would say, and coach, I don't know if it's still being said, is like, if I didn't think you were good, I wouldn't keep coaching you up. Like, if I didn't think there was something in you, I wouldn't, like, stay on you. And it's tough because I was talking to a parent and a pastor this week, and they're like, man, I just get so frustrated with my kids and this and that. I'm like, oh, trust me, like, me too. Like, we're both at the front of the line of frustrated parents, right? Like, we get there. And their children are in high school. And I was like, you know, what's interesting is, like, what you don't have as a teenager, you could have all the intelligence, right? You can have all the swagger, all the drip, as the kids say. You can have all of that stuff, but you don't have foresight. Because you only know what you know. And there's only so much you can know without the blessing of experience. And so I was encouraging this pastor, we were encouraging each other, but my point in the encouraging back and forth was, hey, they can't see down the line. Just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind. It's not that they're ungrateful, they just don't understand how much it costs for you to give them something that they never had to pay for. So it is with teenagers, so it is us with God. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. We say those words because we don't in full sight see the cost or even the love that comes through discipline. Look at Psalms 94, verses 12 through 14. Someone say ammunition. I want to make sure you are ready to go into this week, ready to rock. Joyful are those you discipline, Lord, those you teach with your instructions. Whew, this verse just sets me free. You give them relief from troubled times until a pit is dug to capture the wicked. The Lord will not reject his people. He will not abandon his special possession. Can I get an amen to that? I'm going to give you kind of 4 points right here out of these two scriptures that I really, really love. And I'm going to kind of go through them rather quickly. Won't be sitting on them too long, so I want you to really lean in. What I love right here in Psalms 94, looking at verse 12, look at what discipline does right here. The first thing that it does is discipline renders joy. How many cooks do I have in the house? You just like to cook. I'm not talking, I'm going to be master chef. You just like to cook. Awesome. Now, when you hear the word render for a cook, you kind of know what that means. Usually that's pertaining to taking an animal product, kind of rendering off the fat. Well, why do we render the fat? We render the fat to kind of liquefy a solid, right? In essence, to make a gravy or to be able to make it pliable to do something with it. So what it's saying here is discipline takes a solid, which is us, and liquefies it, making it more pliable for God to use. But it doesn't render fat. Discipline renders joy. So he takes hard situations through discipline that doesn't feel good, that is good for us, but not good to us. He takes those things, takes us through the process of discipline, and out comes joy. Well, what's joy? Joy is the attitude that we adopt, not because of how good our circumstances are, but because of our faith in who holds our circumstances. So we have something that lasts longer than happiness. We never have to get on the pursuit of happiness because we have joy. Amen. And as the old saints would say, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Yeah. Joy is something that's lasting, that is not conditional. Joy is sturdy. Joy is gritty. Joy is built for tough. Joy is an offensive lineman. Joy is a security guard. Joy is not some guy in Birkenstocks with long hair and blue eyes and daisies behind his ear. That's not joy. That's also not Jesus, but that's for another message. Joy is strong. Joy is ready to pick a fight with anything that wants to disrupt it. Come on. And the biggest punch that joy throws is left discipline. What keeps joy is the same thing that renders joy. Discipline keeps joy in your life. The second thing that discipline does, verse 12 also alludes to it, says those you teach with your instruction. Joy for those you discipline. Lord, those you teach with your instruction. Discipline leads to insight. When you follow God's ways, you will learn God's ways. When you follow God's ways, I was reading Colossians this week. I believe it's chapter 2 in the Message translation. I do not know the verse, but it spoke of when you know how God works, you'll know how God's working in your life. That comes through discipline. Time with him. Prioritizing him. His voice. In all of my ways, acknowledging him. This doesn't mean that I'm in my Bible 5 hours a day. No. You got to work. You got to live. No, what I'm saying is I just acknowledge you. God, before I check my to-do list, I just want to give you praise for today. That's acknowledging him in all your ways. Before I look at who I'm on shift with today, that schedule just came out. Before I see who's going to ruin my week today, God, I give it to you. And I'm going to go in there with a good attitude. Coach, what did you tell us? We control our attitude and our... So I'm going today. With joy in my heart, controlling my attitude and my effort. That's a good place to give God some praise. Make that a declaration this week. The third thing, found in verse 13, it says, this is my favorite one, you give them relief from troubled times. You give them relief from troubled times. You give them relief from troubled times. I want relief from troubled times. Discipline brings relief. It brings relief. The problem with it sometimes is it's delayed gratification. It brings relief, but that relief may not be right away. Discipline brings relief. Relief from having to carry debt. Talking financial debt. Discipline brings relief from carrying emotional debt and weight. What's emotional debt? Living in the past, guilt, shame. It's emotional debt. Emotional weight is carrying things that you are not supposed to be carrying, like the expectations of others. Like performance-based living. That's emotional weight. Relational weight. I hope you're all writing those down. No. What's relational weight? I can change them. Oh, can you? Crazy part about it is, if we have, like, can you change yourself? And usually the answer is no, right? If we're honest, right? So what makes us take flyers to go about changing other people? What makes us want to take that weight on? That's a question that I want you and the Holy Spirit, if you deal with that, to ask this week. Why do I want to do your job? Is it because I felt someone wasn't there for me? I don't even want to start going through the options. I want the Holy Spirit to kind of talk to you on that one. But discipline brings relief. I'll get to that later. The last one, I lied. This is my favorite one. This is in relation to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 that we just read. God is a patient parent. Always. Even when the game's on. Even when I'm tired. God's a patient parent. He gets it. He gets it. Remember last week when we were talking about anytime someone calls you bud, right? God, like, perpetually, Steph, calls us bud. Like, he looks at us. And I was telling this other pastor friend of mine, I said, you know, I had a moment to where I was like, I am just not being a good dad. Like, I'm sucking at the dad thing. It was a couple months ago. I was leaving the library, and it was a very real moment. I was like, I just, like, my dad level is going down right now. Like, I need some reinforcements. I just had a real moment. I was just sitting in my car, like, I'm sucking being a dad. I said, God, I need your help. No lie. And you know what his response to me? Like, the Holy Spirit just brought this up in my heart. He said, just be a better son. He wasn't talking about being a better son than my natural father. He was saying, be better at receiving the love from your spiritual father. Because as you see how I love you, go and love those three nuggets. And it blew my mind, church. It gave me relief. But it also provided a discipline. I need to figure out how God loves me. And I need to practice that with my kids. And guess what? I don't get it right all the time. But he's a patient father. And he says, okay, get back up. Let's look at that. Though I don't get it right all the time, the beauty of God is he'll keep transforming you from glory to glory. Like, you'll get better. You'll never be perfect, but you'll always get better. Because he's a good father, and he's a patient parent. That's a good place to give God some praise too. These are things that he gives us. Now, we just went through how good God is for the last 20, 25 minutes. We just talked about discipline from that perspective. Now we're left with a choice. I want you to write this down. The temporary pain of discipline or the lasting pain of regret. The temporary pain of discipline right now. Or the lasting pain of regret. This is our prayer right here. Give you another second to write that down. We have to choose the temporary pain of discipline or the lasting pain of regret. Last week, I encouraged you to memorize Psalms 23. Don't show your hands, but if you did it, way to go. If your kids did it, I will definitely give them a dollar. Not you. Your children. This is your prayer and your task this week. I want you to repeat after me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. I want to do that one more time. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level ground. That's Psalms 143:10. That's your prayer this week. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. I don't know about you, but when I read certain things, especially the Bible, and I believe that the Holy Spirit does this for all of us when we sit in his word, certain words just jump out. When I read that, all I hear is, good spirit, lead me on level ground. Who does not need that prayer every stinking morning? Especially in areas that we need discipline. See how much of this weights on the Holy Spirit versus on us? We're going to get into that a little bit later. Psalms 143 Verse 10. And we got that scripture up there, right? Psalms 143:10. If you don't, you can write it down. Church, not you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Man, I could sit there all day, but I can't. Wow. I'm going to jump a little bit ahead in the message right now. Do you see that weight that discipline has, the Holy Spirit has when it comes to helping us with discipline so far? You see all that's provided? We have a loving Father. He corrects us. He does it because he loves us. We've identified and confronted the fact that it is painful, meaning that that's not going to be a sign for us to stop. That's going to be a sign for us to lean in, right? Because we know what it's costing us. We're okay. We're okay. Amen? This is some Christian maturity now, right? The Bible, Jesus told disciples, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He's telling us that right now. So pain, it's okay. It's part of discipline if we lean into him. All right. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, in and out. In and out. Now you're probably thinking, Pastor, we're talking about discipline. You're about to talk about burgers? No, not today. Actually, when everybody turn around on the table, I'm joking. No, I'm not talking about burgers. I'm talking about how the Spirit works in us. It's in and out. Everybody repeat after me, in and out.
In and out.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Look at this, church. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Hear this closely. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working. Someone gonna read with me? In you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, everything that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. I got to read that first part again. But the Holy Spirit produces, the Holy Spirit produces, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. To be a fruit, there has to be a seed. Seed planted, nourished, grown. And the type of fruit the Holy Spirit produces in our lives is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That sounds a lot like discipline. Could it be that we've been working outside in instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside out? So we bump our head against the wall of our disciplined area, our area that needs to be disciplined, and we quit because, like, oh, we don't have it yet. It's not working out. Or the strength of our pursuit is based on external things, but the power of our discipline is based on internal things. Repeat after me. God works in.
God works in.
I work out.
I work out.
God works in.
God works in.
I work out. Now, I'm not talking just physically. I'm not talking physically at all there. Spiritually. But one theologian said it this way, and I loved it. He said, the Spirit creates the miracle. Self acts the miracle. So good. And I quote, the Spirit creates the miracle. Yes, baby E. He's feeling it. The Spirit creates the miracle. Self acts out the miracle. So, I don't wait for strength to show up. I walk in strength by faith.
Come on, yeah, that's good.
I don't wait for discipline to show up. I start walking in discipline by faith.
Amen.
I don't wait to feel like doing it. You'll be waiting on hold. Like you're calling the government or something. I don't wait to feel like doing it. I do it by faith. Romans 1:17. It's on the screen. If you mean Joe Green, Romans 1:17 says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Listen to this. This is accomplished from start to finish by, y'all read it or are you just looking at it? Is it up there? By faith. Romans 1:17. That this whole thing is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Let that soak in. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And it's accomplished from start to finish by faith. Let's look at the first scripture we read back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 26. We repeated this word to our neighbor, and it says right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, Paul says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I run with purpose in every step. I want you to repeat after me. So I run
with purpose in every step.
Church, it's time to walk with purpose in every step. Playtime's over. You only get one life to accomplish what God has. And can I send you some encouragement? There is enough time left in your life to do what God has called you to do, but not anybody else's. There's enough time. Remember, he's a patient father. There's enough time left on the clock in your life for you to do what God has called you to do. Question is, what area in your life needs faith? Filled intention. What area? You know, I want to brag on my nephews, privilege I have of having the microphone. They had their first day of school pictures, and their mother's quite creative. And they were holding up what grades they were going into, right? And I love y'all's kids, because now being a parent, like, anytime I see y'all's kids going to school, I'm like, oh, it's so awesome, you know, right? Like, they had their thing, and my favorite part about the sign was, yeah, I'm in fourth grade, and I said some other stuff. My favorite part was they had their goals at the bottom of their poster. And I remember, still working on that, I remember exactly what they were, but I remember commenting, I love the intention. Like, there is intention. And it's starting at a young age with those two. That when they go to school, there's an objective. So no matter if they feel good or bad, they know there's an objective. What areas in our life need faith-filled objectives, intentions? Where in your life are you lacking to put faith behind it? God, let's team up. I'm believing that you're going to help me eat better. By asking God to come in, he's going to bring his buddy discipline. And discipline's going to come. And here's the part that's hard. We want the results, but we struggle with the process of it. So then when discipline comes and shakes up our regular scheduled programming, we're like, ah! And it's like, well, if we keep doing what we've been doing, we're not going to get to remember that intention that we want. It's simple, but not easy. God knows it's not easy. That's how God works. He wants us to walk with purpose in every step. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, in the Amplified says it this way: where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. I want that part. Where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. When you lack vision, you lack restraint. When you lack intention and destination, you lack anything that's going to keep you focused. Because what are you playing for? To participate? I'm just glad to be in the number one more time. Paul says, I run to what?
Win.
That's what Paul is saying here. That's what it's all about. Now, not win in the sense, go get them, Tiger, like go manipulate cells to win. Not that type of win. No, God, I will bring on your discipline to make me better. And not just spiritually, but even practically. Your biggest testimony may be your sales report. Your biggest testimony may be the review from the principal of your classroom. Stop leaving God on Sunday. Bring him to work and be good at it. Be good at it. Whatever your hands find to do it with all of your strength. Do it to the glory of God. The Bible tells us to do that. Faith isn't a substitute for hard work. No. And it's also not an excuse for lousy work. Read Proverbs. It will wake you up. Oh, if it's God's will. After reading the book of Proverbs, I do believe, obviously, there's a sovereign will of God. But then there are things that we can disqualify ourselves from because of our choices. Reading through Proverbs, specifically chapters 1 through 10, if I were you, I'd be writing this down. This is free. Those first 10 chapters show very clearly of what happens when you choose what you choose. I choose discipline over regret. And I end with this. I want you to ask yourself two questions. Two questions. I want you to write these things down. I want you to ask yourself these questions this week. Number one, what do you want most? What do you want most? And then secondly, second question, separate question, what do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most? What do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most? Those two questions. What do you want most? And what do you need to choose now to achieve what you want most? Those are some practical, real life questions that I want you to ask yourself after hearing God's word, his way. Somebody say, the struggle's real. And also say, but so is the strength. We can do this. If we reimagine or realign, I should say, discipline with God's way of looking at it, I think we can do this. I think we can accomplish what our heart's desire is, and we won't get to heaven going, I got a disqualified room. I believe for us in this room, there are some things that you can only get through living a disciplined life. There are some things that you will only appreciate once you live a disciplined life. Those are two. Some things you will only get through a disciplined life. Some things you will only appreciate through a disciplined life. So what is knocking on the other side of that door called discipline? What's on the other side of that door called discipline? I'm praying for that spiritually, physically, financially. Some of us have holes in our pockets, holes in our refrigerators, and holes in our souls. But God is a good Father. And He is here to gird us, strengthen us. And as you see, you are not alone in this. Let's all stand.